Let's just go for it.
Okay.
So this is the first episode of Tortoise and the Hare. I am the hare because I'm an idiot. I think is best word for it. No, I just talk really fast and have rampant thoughts. And of course, Lucas is the tortoise. Why would we call you the tortoise, Lucas? Why do you think?
Well, my wife calls me a sloth, but I think, I'm the tortoise in this podcast because I'm more mellow and relaxed and down to earth, I guess.
I like that. It's a lot better than my intro, and I feel just like
my brain runs a lot slower than your brain does.
I don't know about that. I mean, how would you say we started this? What was the conversation that we had that kind of prompted this? Do you remember?
I think it was just multiple conversations while working on your patio.
Exactly. And I'll explain this. Luke never liked me, as far as I've been told from multiple people. I heard he just felt bad for me. I believe the description was that I had the brain fortitude of a kindergartner with the body of an eighth grader, but surprisingly, the genitalia of a grown man. So that was really nice. But he felt pity on me, and so he's helping me do my patio in the backyard. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that's pretty close. Spot on.
Especially the genitalia part, I hope is.
Don't feel bad though. I don't like most people.
Oh, is that true?
I guess not really.
it's just revelations, and we talk a lot, and I've never heard you say that before. So I'll let everybody know that. potentially you're not as nice as you seem. But I think we had a real deep conversation on the patio. They got real trippy. Both kind of looked at each other and said, this is the kind of shit that everybody wants to listen to. And of course, by everybody, we mean nobody. But we don't get a lot of chances, I don't think, to really riff too much, being that you're a family man, you work good hours, and you take care of a lot of things at home. With your wife and your daughter, and of course I'm here, and I help out as much as I can at the house and work and do other things as well. So we figured, why not be at two places at once? And so we decided to create this kind of podcast, just kind of have fun and riff a little bit, and hopefully other people are just as curious mentally stimulated by nonsense as we are. And I wrote a list, obviously, as you know, we discussed earlier in the week. Which I probably should have kept a lot of it to myself for surprise benefits, but I wrote a list on things that I've been thinking of. And did you get anything else down besides your one thing, Luke, or no?
I've got three things now.
Three things?
Yeah, so I've got a mental list. I don't need to write three things down.
Jesus, this might be an hour-long podcast then. Those three things. We might have to start paying somebody to be hosted. But no, I think that's fantastic. One of the things I always talk about, I think you and I talk about too, is starting a business, you know, and it's just funny. I don't know when the tables turned in our culture where I felt like starting a business was always the ground up of something you knew, right? It was always you, or if you're a carpenter, you started a carpenter business. If you worked on cars, you did this. And now it just seems like anybody wants to start any kind of business, and people make it seem so easy. I just caught an infomercial just before we got on with this guy, and he was, you know, it was a YouTube ad, and he was saying, oh, you know, give me 10 minutes and I'll show you how to make passive income of like an extra $4,000 a month with just 10 minutes of your time a day. And you start a business with that. And I was like, man, I just don't know what happened. There just doesn't seem to be any culture to what we do to start businesses anymore. Everything seems to be just, you know, here's 10 minutes in a booklet and you can do anything you want. And I just think that's ridiculous. And
well, with social media, I feel like all you need is some harebrained schemed idea to come up with, and people buy into almost anything and you can make money off of that.
I think that's so true. Cause I think I heard the funny quip was, if you want to make $1 million, right, be a millionaire, write a book about how you're a millionaire. Right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Because people will listen. Okay, well, I want the fast track. I think that I heard somebody say the other day, and that's why people buy lottery tickets, right? They want the fast track. So yeah, if you want to be a millionaire, just write a book about how you got there. I guess you don't have to have any proof, but people will buy into it. What's number one on your list?
What list?
Your mental list, man.
You mean the stuff I want to talk about?
Yeah, let it riff, man. I mean, I can't do this all by myself. My mouth is getting dry already.
Number one, I guess. Well, it was the first thing I put on my list. We're about to get real deep and heavy real quick, but it was exorcisms.
Oh, shit. You're watching that Evil, aren't you? Is that why? That TV show?
That's exactly where it came from. Are you guys watching that yet?
No, but I hope we don't get copyrighted for saying that. And I hope we don't get in trouble by some kind of weird, was it NBC or something?
I think that's on Fox. Yeah.
That I love that shit. That exorcism stuff. There was a movie, I think in the early 2000s, late 90s, that was not even that good. It was called Stigmata. Have you ever heard of that one?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen it, though.
Stigmata is pretty much like same thing, right? It's very similar to an exorcism. And she was, bleeding from the hands. Like, we're supposed to reenact like the Stations of the Cross, right? It's like you're going through the same things, the lashings that Jesus went through and the crown of thorns and stuff like that. And I think I told you that my dad was an altar boy. Don't get any weird thoughts on that. He was an altar boy for a priest, Father John Nicola, who was the technical advisor for the movie The Exorcist.
Time I just keep thinking about how you have a much better podcast voice than I do.
I love your podcast voice. It's the perfect tortoise voice. I'm serious. We are the yin and the yang, man. This is what happens when worlds collide. That's gonna be our intro song. No, I mean it though. I mean, it's pretty amazing though, right? When it comes to exorcisms, I kind of believe in them, and I don't know if I believe them from the standpoint of a demon entering the body or an entity, or whatever. But I definitely think there's something there that it's too similar, right? There's two similar occurrences around the world that are so similar that people never even talked. Like, exorcisms aren't like a new thing on YouTube. They've been going on for hundreds of years. I mean, what do you think about them?
Well, I'm just extremely conflicted about it, because every time I see a show or a movie about someone being possessed by the devil, I look at my beliefs. And one of the serious conversations we were having the other day is about how I'm agnostic. And what if I'm wrong and God exists and the devil exists, and one day I am possessed by a evil creature?
That is a real specific.
It's hard to, I just get so conflicted watching shows like this, because how do you know what's real? Like, spoiler alert, but the episode of Evil, obviously there's a priest there who is 100% convinced the victim is possessed, and there's a medical doctor who is 100% convinced
it's a mental illness, right?
Yeah. And when you have two professionals 100% convinced the other way, how do you know who's right, and how do you know what to believe? And it just always makes me think.
Yeah. No, I completely am on the same page as you. And I think I told you, I grew up, very Catholic, went to Catholic grammar school for about 9 years. And it's not that I don't believe in a higher power now or anything like that. But I think, like you, there's just so much going on. There's so much out there that we still don't understand. And I don't know. I definitely think that there's too much similar circumstances from over hundreds of years from different parts of the world where people don't speak the same language, don't tell the same stories, and don't communicate, where those things are too similar. I mean, you're not talking about a mental illness where somebody, forgets math like me.
Math. Right?
You're math. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about very specific people speaking in tongues, right? I mean, a lot of it's spoken. I mean, you always hear spoken in Latin, right? The old language, Latin. But a lot of people didn't grow up with Latin, right? It's been an extinct language for a number of years too. So I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know where it falls in my beliefs, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's something there that's pretty supernatural. That's possible. Like, do you agree though that it's too like non-randomized for hundreds of years?
Oh yeah, that's what it was. Is
yeah.
I mean, I should really start watching this show, but that's basically what the show is every episode is a priest from the Catholic Church is tasked to investigate a person who thinks they're possessed or thinks they speak to God directly. And it's hard to make up my mind on what I believe. And it's just a TV show, I guess, but there are really people in the world that like this, that are like this, that think they talk to God or think they are possessed. And if there are so many people that think that, and sometimes they seem to produce good evidence that what they're saying is true, but that's the best part about this show is there's this technical guy who is always able to prove everything wrong.
Like a scientific skeptic almost, right?
Yeah, but it's a lot more than just a scary 1 hour show. I feel like it's a lot deeper than that. Like from the first, you know, the couple of previews we saw or whatever, it looked like it was maybe just a few
jumpy and stuff. Right, right. Yeah, I definitely gotta check it out because I love that stuff.
Yeah,
that shit makes me nervous just to think about it sometimes, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
You know, like, you know, my grandpa just passed and I was thinking about mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, you know, like the, I don't know, man, it's like
the afterlife.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, where do we come up with this stuff anyway? Right. I mean, we are so far now, right. 2000 years, let's say, AD, right. Let's just put that on the map, whether, you know, Christ is, you know, after Christ was born, et cetera. Right. And so you got 2000 years of things that could have been told that were real or fake or falsified or made to be better sounding than they were for an agenda, right? You have 2,000 years of that, right? So you kind
of think a lot of it is people just make up stuff to make them feel better about things that have happened to them, provide them with comfort with losing a loved one or difficult situations or whatever they come across.
Well, what do you think about the whole tunnel, the whole white tunnel that so many people have seen and described over the years, you know, before that it was a big phenomenon where everybody could look it up on, again, on YouTube or the internet, you know, everybody kind of described a similar circumstance of I went into the light and I got pulled back, but I saw, you know, I saw people or I saw this, I saw that. Like, do you think that's just a coincidence where maybe our brains, when they're shutting down, that's just a white light people see and we're thinking about our memories? Or do you think it's possible that there's just another plane that we go to consciously and our body just stays here lifeless, you know?
I could be as... Well, I'm no doctor, but I feel like it could be as simple as something as when you pass out or black out or whatever, maybe you see a flasher or something like that as soon as you do it. Maybe I heard somebody tell this story one time about how they quote unquote died and saw a light and then came back to life. So now I want to make that same story up so I can get media attention or social media attention and people will start talking about me and my story.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I agree. There's plenty of circumstance now with that. It's like anything else, right? It's like when you talk about ghosts or you talk about UFO abductions and stuff like that. I definitely believe that there are more people in this world that take advantage of those things for their own benefit. What I'm saying is, like, if you go back before everything was at people's fingertips, you know, before those things were widely known, you have again, these similar experiences that are not connected in any means, that are written in, again, different languages and spoken by different people who have no agenda, you know? And so my question, like you said, and I think you kind of hit it again, is that just what the brain does, right, when it shuts down completely or temporarily? Is it just this white type of feeling? And then your brain is just recycling happy thoughts of people you care about, right? Or, again, is it something a little more spiritual? I don't know, obviously. I know people I've spoken to know people who have claimed to see the light and come back. I don't know. I think, like you said, I think we all We all want to have a little bit of comfort in life. You know, it's incredible. Like, it really is incredible that we are literally the only what seems to be such a intelligent, in our terms, creature, that we have a written language, that we're able to look at something and know we can put it together and mix it up and create buildings. But more importantly, everything around us, besides the stuff we build, is pretty edible. I mean, isn't that just too convenient that that's there? Like, doesn't it seem like there has to be some type of blueprint behind all this stuff? Like, why are we so self-sustained? Mars isn't. Venus, Jupiter, you know?
We're the perfect distance from the sun.
What about the landscape then? Because there's water and we're the perfect distance from the sun, that's how we were able to sustain that well? Is that math? Exactly. Again? Is that math?
Because Mars is too far from the sun to have water, and Venus is too close to sustain water.
Really? I mean,
if you really want to get into this, I could probably provide. There's way more evidence as to a non-religious entity creating the Earth and the solar system than there is against it.
Oh no! I listen. I'm not arguing any fact either way. I'm not saying that there's that's a religious or spiritual thing. I'm just saying it's hard to believe that there's one out of a billion other places so far. And as far as we know, everything just kind of happened perfectly to the point where we are where we're at now. You understand? Like, not just the fact that this planet's self-sustained because of the distance from the sun, the light, and then the moon reflects off it at night, which gives us the tides in the water. And then you have, you know, water you can drink, and you have plants that grow, and the fruit that grows on it you can eat, and you get your calories and your sugar and your metabolism, and then the vegetables are around, and you have your all these things that put together your body. Okay, vitamin D, whatever it is, that's perfect too. And then apart from that, you evolve so highly that now we can look back and carbon date this shit and realize where we came from. We are literally the only entity that we know of, period, that can do that. Like, we can teach animals how to do things. And you see amazing things that monkeys build things. Or even crows, ravens can talk and mimic, and they understand puzzles.
You're preventing two different points. It's like you're preventing the point that God exists and created the Earth and this perfect living environment for us, but then you're also creating the point of evolution and man learning how to eat and survive. And that's two completely different points of view.
Well, of course they are. No, I'm not discrediting or I'm not for either one of them. All I'm saying is that it's just incredible to me. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's not unbelievable, right? And I'm not saying that there isn't that one in, you know, trillions of chances. But you got to admit, man, that it's more likely that we should have ended up like other planets than we did now. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think it's just more likely that there's other planets like us that we haven't discovered yet with other forms of life.
Why haven't they discovered us?
If you want to transition into that. Conspiracy theory on that front is that they know about us. They're just not interested in us because they're so much more advanced than we are. Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely possible. We could talk about this literally all day. I mean, I think it's all amazing. Think about this. This is something I think about all the time too, right? And this is completely different than what we're talking about, but a little bit towards, you know, the mental capacity that we have. Like, think about what was available, you know, 1969, right? They always joke about there being more competing power in your hand than there was on the spaceship, right? Now you always hear that, right? Or in a calculator, right? Why have we jumped so fast is what I'm wondering. Was it just a snowball? Because one thing jumped, it led to another thing, it led to another thing, it led to another thing. Because I just find it fascinating that we are this much more advanced in 2019, almost 20, than we were in 1970 compared to...
So are you intimating that we've had artificial intelligence?
I think it's possible.
Brought us along?
I think it's possible that there's... So we have so much more advancement and maybe outside help. You never know about that too, right? Maybe we have communicated with other beings. I don't know.
I don't know how long ago it was. I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 years ago when they got that hydrogen collider.
Yeah, Higgs boson, right?
Yeah, and one of the the first time they tried to start it up, there was a malfunction. And
somebody disappeared or something, right?
Conspiracy theory was someone from the future traveled back in time to make sure it malfunctioned because they knew it was going to end up destroying our universe or something.
Now that is the dopest shit I've ever heard right there. Because I heard that somebody disappeared or something. That's what I heard. Like somebody literally was like, "Huh," oh. That's John. I told him not to stand too close. You know what I mean? That's our Giuseppe.
Thanks for your help, John.
Was it Sweden or Italy? Where the hell was it? Sweden, right?
Right. Yeah,
it was Sweden. Okay. Yeah. Well, then it was probably Janosch, I think, was who it was. fucking Janosch, man. I told him.
Told him, don't stand that close.
Here? No! Oh, all right. Well, that's about it for Janosch. No, I think it's fascinating. I really do. I don't know, man. It just seems that there's just so much that we don't know, right?
The old ball and chain called.
Oh, is that what disconnected it? Or was that just separate?
No, she called after it was disconnected.
Is she on the way home? We better finish this up.